Everyone in the course, please put up your hand. Who organized the course? There are a lot of new people. So you've got the principles now. It's time to practice. Just listening to the Dhamma, we don't get much. There's no point. Some people have learned with Lungpa so long, they can memorize everything, they can answer any question, but they still don't know how to practice. Some people have only learned a little bit, but they're good practitioners. Some technical difficulties. Dhamma, if we don't practice, then we don't get the results. Our masters, no matter how deep or beautiful the teachings, if we don't practice, they have no point. We have to see the phenomena that happen inside of us. We practice Dhamma, we learn Dhamma so that we practice. We have to see phenomena, different states. Mental and physical phenomena that comprise this body and mind, this self of ours, this thing that we feel is a self. If we haven't listened to the Buddha's teachings, then we'll think this thing sitting here is me. But the Buddha taught us to separate out the different things that we believe are us into components and see that there is no self. Each aggregate, each component, each part is just a grouping of physical phenomena and mental phenomena. There's the physical component, and then there are four aggregates that are mental components. And they can even separate even further into 28 different components, but there's no need to go to that much detail. When we are able to experience phenomena, most of them we experience them with the mind. There are only a few that we learn in a physical way. Like, for example, there's one phenomenon that we get from the eyes. It's light. There's one phenomenon that we get from the ears. That's sound. Those are in the other senses. That's physical. Other than that, it's all mental that we experience the phenomena. The tongue is the body, the eyes are the body, the ears are part of the body, they're physical. There's only one form that we know through the eyes, and one through the ears, one through the nose, one through the mouth, the tongue. Through the tongue, it's just flavor. Through the body, it's just the tactile sense. Form is just composed of the elements of fire, wind, water, and earth. People think that water is the water element, but that's not true. Liquid things aren't the water element. The water element is the attractive force that holds things together. So the material senses, we only know the forms through the material senses. But most things we know through the mind, not through the body. For example, if we close our eyes and we make some movements, we didn't see the movements, we know them with our mind or our heart. Mental objects we don't know with our eyes. We only know them with our mind. We can't use our eyes to see mental phenomena. Some people close their eyes and squeeze really hard trying to see mental phenomena, but you're not going to see them with the eyes. We only know them with the heart, with the mind. We know them, their feelings. We can feel them. Memory, feelings, all the mental formations. We only know these things through the mind or heart. We can't smell or hear these things. So the mind is aware of so many more things than the material senses. It works really hard. The mind even knows the mind that moves and goes to work through the eyes, ears, nose, mouth, and body. The mind is the one that is aware, and it becomes, when we make contact with physical senses, it then becomes aware. All mental and physical phenomena are impermanent. And the truth is, none of them are happy. Impermanence means that whatever was there is gone. That's the characteristic of impermanence. The suffering characteristic means that every phenomenon is oppressed to dissolve. It's under oppression. The anatta or non-self characteristic means that there isn't anything is under power to control. Things move, arise, and fall out of their own causes. Can anybody put out a fire? No, we can't put out fires. Fires are put out because the cause for them to be there has disappeared. When there's oxygen, there can be a fire. But if we add water, then there's no oxygen for the fire. So the fire gets put out because there is no oxygen. We don't put out the fire, it's just that there is no cause, the cause for it to be there isn't there anymore. Fire cannot survive without oxygen. We can't put out fires. We can only get rid of its cause to be there. Once we get rid of its cause to be there, the fire disappears. The same is true about physical and mental phenomena. The truth is, there is no us. Things just arise out of causes, and they're always changing, just like fire. If there's the purpose for the fire to be there, it'll be there. When the cause for it to be there is gone, it disappears. It goes out. That's the same with our physical and mental phenomena. Another cause of fire is temperature. If the temperature is too low for there to be a fire, then there won't be a fire. So there are physical phenomena that the eyes, ears, nose, mouth, and body, they only know a few phenomena, and then most of the phenomena are mental phenomena. In every moment of the mind, there's either happiness, unhappiness, or neutrality. And then there are more mental formations, like greed, anger, and delusion. But these things don't just arise out of the air. They have causes to arise. We have a false sense of self-importance, thinking that I am angry when the anger arises, but it's just the mind that arises with anger. It's not us. It's not a person, a being. It's not him or her. All the things that arise with the mind, like happiness, unhappiness, neutrality, memory, all the different mental formations. None of these things are a self. They arise and fall out of their own causes. Nobody believes that happiness is a person, or unhappiness is a person, or anger is a person. But then we believe that I am angry. I am happy. Or this animal is happy. This animal is angry. None of these formations are a person. When we see all the physical and mental phenomena correctly, we'll see that there isn't a person. We just have a false self of importance. Keep watching for 7 days, 7 months, 7 years. If we have enough, accumulated enough merit, then we'll enlighten to the truth. There are a lot of commentaries and teachers these days. Some of them don't understand the true teachings. We have to look back at the original scriptures. Some people of the newer age like to say that nirvana is a self. But if you look at the scriptures, there isn't a self anywhere. We even hear it in the original scriptures that the Buddha said that all Dhamma are anatta. All Dhamma includes nirvana. Right now we're sitting. Can we feel that? We can know that we're sitting. How do we know this? Do we know this from our butt? No. We know this. Our mind knows this. Close our eyes. Do we know where we're sitting? If we close our ears, do we know we're sitting? How about if we close our nose? Right? We don't know it from the body. We know it through the mind that we're sitting. Let's move our heads. Can we feel that? When we feel that the body is sitting or nodding, we know that through the mind. Same with the breath. Let's see this in a relaxed way. We don't have to make any particular posture in order to know this. We don't have to move, get ready for a meditation to know these things. To know that the body is breathing out or the body is breathing in, we don't have to make any particular posture. However it is that we're sitting, we can know. We just know with a regular, ordinary mind. Just a regular human's mind. When we know or become aware of mental and physical phenomena, we do so with an ordinary mind. We can close our eyes, we can open our eyes when we're watching. We don't have to pick any particular posture. We don't have to change our physical posture in any way. Let's just know in an easy, simple way. How about smiling? Can we smile a sweet smile? Can we feel that the body moved? The face moved? But we can't keep the smile for long because suffering will oppress it. After smiling for a while, it'll start to become painful. We'll see suffering of the body. And suffering is oppressing the body. Let's pinch ourselves. Can you feel the pain? Pinching? When we pinch ourselves and feel the pain, do we have to make any particular posture? Do we have to look good when we do it in a meditation position? No. So just the most ordinary mind is the best mind for learning Dhamma. It's just that what happens is defilements are overtaking the mind all the time. Our mind gets busy and restless. Just listening to the Dhamma now, our mind moves off to think about this, think about that. Sometimes thinking about what Lungpa is talking about, sometimes thinking about other things completely. We have to practice mindfulness. Mindfulness knows the phenomena that are arising in the present. Not in the past, not in the future. Mindfulness is the most important element for this world to still have enlightened beings arising. See, we don't have to be stressed and stiff. We don't have to put the mind in a daze or a dreamy state, or stressed or heavy or tight or stiff or dull in order to practice. These are unwholesome states. We need a wholesome state of mind that's light, gentle, nimble, active, not angry, greedy, or deluded. That's what we need. Just an ordinary mind that doesn't have defilements in it is what we need to observe. So let's not make a posture of a practitioner that, no, I am a practitioner. When we start doing that, we start controlling and being too stiff. It's too stressed. We're making something easy difficult in that way. Something that is natural and simple, turning into something unnatural. Just no phenomena with an ordinary mind that isn't angry, greedy, or deluded. We all have this ordinary mind, but it's gone because it's there, but it's being manipulated by defilements. Let's listen to the bell. When we hear the gong, we know it through the ears. After that, the heart listens to the sound, but it listens through the ears. It's the connector. It's called ayatana, the channel, the connector between the mind and the sound. The mind knows the sound, but it knows it through the ears. So if he asks next, who's the one that knows the smell? Is it the nose or the heart, right? You might know the answer, but you don't really know the answer. You might know it just from thinking and listening to the Dhamma, but you have to practice in order to see the truth so that it's worthwhile. But knowing the body as it actually is hard to do without jhana. We have to have really good meditation to be able to see these things. When we're watching the breath, notice the whole body is breathing in a more general way. Let's not hold our attention focusing on a particular point. When we're walking, know the whole body is walking in a relaxed way. Let's not send our mind down to the feet. Just know in a relaxed and comfortable way. We don't have to have a big ego forcing and pushing hard. Just let, when we watch the mind, just let the feelings arise naturally and then know that they've arisen. Like, let the mind get lost in thought and then realize that it got lost in thought. Let the lost in thought happen first. Let's not wait for phenomena to arise. The same is true for anger and greed. Some people are like, okay, am I angry yet? Am I angry yet? Oh. Nope, no anger arising. Right, in that way we're watching in advance. It doesn't work. Anger won't arise because we're focusing. We're interfering with the mind, making it unnatural. We'll get tired of doing that after a while. Right? If we're holding or watching in advance, then the defilements aren't going to arise naturally. So we have to see after the fact, but not too long. We can't be angry yesterday and know that today. We have to know very quickly after each defilement arises that it has. In the body, we can see in the present, immediate present. We can see when the body's sitting that it's sitting, lying down that it's lying, moving that it's moving, walking that it's walking. But seeing the mind or heart, we have to let the feeling, emotion, or defilement, we have to let it arise first, and then we see immediately afterwards. An unwholesome mind like greed, when greed arises and then the greed is seen, the greed falls away immediately. When there is suffering in the mind and mindfulness sees it, it disappears. Sometimes we're unhappy and we see the unhappiness, but it doesn't disappear. Why doesn't it disappear? Because there's still anger there. We don't like that there's unhappiness there. So if we're watching with unhappiness, the mind has dosa or aversion in it. We have to see that aversion and then it'll disappear. Suffering and aversion, or suffering and dosa, these two things arise together. When true mindfulness, a wholesome mind sees a defilement, it disappears immediately, or sees suffering, it disappears immediately. In real time, it's quite subtle. Minds arise and fall very, very quickly. And there's just these tiny little hairs, fractures of space between each mind. The mind is arising and falling each moment. And if we're not able to see that, we'll feel like the mind or consciousness is a self. Will think that there is an Atman or a Brahma, Atman, like a soul, an infinite or an undying soul of some kind. And that's because mindfulness isn't strong enough, seeing that each mind arises and falls, and then there's a space in the middle. There's nothing that is consistently a self. But we have to see these things, we have to practice in a very ordinary way, seeing the body breathing out, the breathing in, see the body moving, see the body still, with an ordinary mind. That's seeing Gaya Vipassana, Vipassana by way of body. When seeing Vipassana by way of mind, we let the phenomenon arise first. For example, the Vedana Vipassana, which is watching the feelings. There's feelings of body and feelings of mind. In order to see the body feelings, we need a high level of concentration like jhana, because we're going to be seeing lots of pain. Our mind won't be able to concentrate, it'll be restless. If we don't have deep concentration, it's easier to see the feelings of the heart or mind, because we can see very easily without any deep concentration if right now we're feeling happy, unhappy, or neutral. It's not a hard thing to do. When the mind is happy, we know so. When the mind is unhappy, we know so. Neutral, we know so. It's just an easy way. It's no mystery. If we're somebody who's easily irritated, and we get angry often, we can see all day long as anger has arisen, then anger is not there, anger is there, anger is not there. If we're a greedy person, we'll see the greed is there, it's not there, it's there, it's not there. Just like that in an ordinary way. Or if we're someone who is a dreamy type mind that likes to wander off a lot, we'll see that the mind wanders off. And then we know so, mind is aware, and we know so. We'll see that the mind wanders off by itself, that it's not under anyone's control, that it's not a self. If we just keep listening to the Dhamma and not putting in the work, then we won't get anywhere. Like Ananda, the servant, the attendant of the Buddha, he wasn't able to become an arahant because he was busy memorizing and listening to the Buddha all the time. He wasn't doing his practice while the Buddha was alive. But when we practice, will we see that everybody in this world is crazy, everyone in this world is completely deluded, that there are people, but there is no person, a him or a her or any being. There's just mental and physical phenomena arising and falling. The mind arises at the eyes, then the ears, then the nose, then the mouth, the tongue, then the body, then in thought. It's just moving around and around and around. And we can't command or order the mind to be happy or unhappy. We can't order the happiness to stay or the suffering to not arise. These things aren't under anyone's control. There's no self. Let's keep practicing. Easy to watch the body, just seeing the body sitting and breathing. We can see that this body is not us. The body sitting still is not us. The body breathing isn't us. The body moving isn't us. Let's keep practicing. Let's go eat and practice mindfulness as we go. And practice wisdom too.